Please be seated. A few years ago, as the story goes, two friends were coaching a group of boys' baseball tryouts and coming and seeing different coaches to pick who would be on their teams. Now, if you've ever seen, as I said, if you've seen tryouts of that age, the kids, there's some kids that show up looking the part. Brand new cleats, crisp uniforms, shiny bats. They jog onto the field like they're ready for the major leagues. Then there are others who show up with the hand-me-down mitts, oversized caps falling to their eyes, maybe even sneakers instead of cleats. You get a mixed bag at these kinds of tryouts. One boy walked out who looked like he had never played before. His socks didn't match. His glove looked like it had survived a garage sale. And honestly, you could see the other kids sizing him up as an easy out. But when it came time to hit, the kid absolutely crushed the ball every time. Line drives into the outfield, and then they gave him a chance to pitch. He was throwing strikes like he had been doing it for years. It turns out that he didn't look like much, but he had the heart and skill and focus that made him stand out above the rest. And so the head coach looked over to his friend and said, "That's the one, that's our guy for the team." That's a picture of what God was teaching Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. Don't be fooled by appearances. God isn't impressed with the polish, height, or first impressions. God looks deeper. In Acts, Paul reminds us that God chose David because of his heart, because David wanted to do God's will. Maybe you heard the story of David's anointing by Samuel in Sunday school. I remember it from a Sunday school lesson from many years ago, where Saul, who's actually a very tragic person, but Saul as the king is beset by, he's just got stuff, okay? And the Lord has said, I'm through with Saul. We need a new king. And so the prophet Samuel, the last of the judges, is sent out to anoint. And he directs him, this place, one of the sons will be the king. And so Jesse's honored, okay, you got the big guy here, Samuel, and brings out the sons, and one after the other. He's got seven sons, and they're like big, tall, strapping, described once as he's good looking, the girls like him, the guys respect him, strong. I once did this even as a skit for kids and did the little strong thing. They loved the routine through each one. The kind of guys that would interview well, but they're not the ones that the Lord said, "No, that's not the one. That's not the one. I look at the inside. That's not the one. I look at the inside." And finally just say, "We've been through seven. You got any more?" "Oh, yeah, there's David. He's out there. He's a shepherd. He's out there doing the shepherd's work." "Well, I'm not leaving until he comes in." And the Lord says, "That is the one." And so he is anointed. It's classic here. And the first point is that God looks beyond appearances at the heart, the character, what's inside. The brothers were not necessarily bad, as much as they were just not the one. They were not right enough for the Lord. There was something not right there. But anyway, they're not the ones. David is out there tending the sheep. Once I heard a person give a description saying, "That individual over there, not a show horse, a draft horse." And David was the draft horse. So here's a caution to us about judging by outward appearances. And then we have this reminder that God chooses the humble, or I would say those who just faithfully do their job. Later, David will take on the giant Goliath. And to prepare for that, Saul gives him his armor. It's too big. It won't fit. And David says, just let me handle this like I would do on the job. David says, your servant was tending his father's flock when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck and killed him. I have on-the-job experience, just doing his job day in and day out. You may know that Michael Jordan was actually cut from a team early in high school. And so he hustled and worked and prepared himself. And the next year, he made it. Pat Summitt was the legendary women's coach, women's basketball coach at the University of Tennessee. And she shared a story in an interview that her son, a younger, did not make the team. Now she said, at first, as a mother, I wanted to call the coach and said, oh, come on, just put him on the team. He can bench him. I mean, he can ride the bench, but just let him be on the team. And then she said, then my coach took over. My coaching side took over. And so I said to my son, you really want to do this? Yes. Then you need to prepare. And basically, she was willing to give him a training program. I'll outline. You do these steps. You do them daily. You'll make the team. And sure enough, it happened. Just doing his job. And very closely related is that the Lord forms leaders through the heart. We saw David and his resume. Earlier, several weeks ago in the sermon, we talked about the life of Moses and how he was raised in the court of Pharaoh, part of the extended royal family, and the advantages that he would have had with that. 40 years, and then, about 40 years, the story goes, he was tending sheep for his father-in-law. Now, Jethro had no sons, so basically Moses has married the boss's daughter, and so some seem kind of being down and out, oh my gosh, you know, just good kind of nothing looking after the sheep. Well, basically, he's the chief operating officer. Either way, he has for 40 years been doing this. And I think looking after the sheep would be a very good job preparation for looking after the people that would follow. All of it came together. And he was just doing his job when he encountered the burning bush. It's been said that in Scripture, nobody goes out seeking a call. They're always doing what they knew they needed to be doing. And the call came, even if it was dramatic. They're just out there doing their job. A home ec teacher became part of a parachurch Christian ministry. And thinking about, Lord, how can you use me? Well, if they were starting out, they kind of had a headquarters. They needed somebody to manage it. And she said, all my home ec training came to mind. How to stretch those dollars, how to make things happen. In the book of Acts, we see the church expanding, and we encounter Lydia. She was a dealer in purple goods. That's a high-end luxury item. She is a businesswoman, a Greek-speaking businesswoman. And a group of God-fearers were gathered with her, using her resources to help this worshiping community in Philippi. And that's the people that Paul met. And that she was one of the three founders of the church at Philippi. As an aside, that was the first church in Europe. Christianity began in Asia. It went to Africa, number two. Europe is number three. So when they say it's only a European thing, that's not so. And Europe was number three. We have Paul's story of somebody who grew up Greek-speaking and comfortable in the Greek-speaking world, and that was sort of the language wherever you went. You could use Greek and they would know it, no matter how many other languages they spoke. And the culture was very common. Trained well in his Jewish roots and his Hebrew and the faith in Yahweh, and a Roman citizen, which gave him many open doors. When he had that encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, again, the Lord for 3 years basically had him in Damascus with the people. He had to leave. He went back to Jerusalem. They received him there after some not too sure, but they said, okay, got in trouble once again and had to go to Tarsus for about 12 years. But each of those episodes being used in his life to prepare him for the great missionary journeys. And in Acts 13, he is preaching about this to Jews and about the story of God's salvation, giving that big picture. And he speaks about David, and that's what he highlights about David, someone after God's own heart. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister. When he became Prime Minister, he said at that moment, in the Second World War, it was like everything in my life has come together for this moment. He had had political setbacks, and he was an interesting character if you look at his career. He was a conservative and then part of the Liberal Party, but never Labor, but you know, Liberal and then back to conservatives, years in the political wilderness, and then called at this time. He had gone to school and had struggled in school, and whether he had a learning disability, you know, we didn't have the techniques to identify that then. But in fact, it was considered, you know, you're not really good at Latin or French. That's what the really smart kids do. You're stuck just studying English. But then he became such a student of the English language, it was later said that he made the English language a weapon. The words that he was able to use to inspire the people during the war. We think of the crowd that Jesus chose to follow him. Matthew is a tax collector. He's working with the Romans. You got Peter, fisherman, rowdy, a little rough around the edges, as were others. Some may have been a little more polished in the fisherman crowd. You've got Simon the Zealot. They were the group determined to get Rome out of Judea. Again, one of my shameless plugs for The Chosen. I remember the episode where we're introduced to Simon the Zealot. And you see him training and preparing. The music is playing. And all I could think of a certain era, Kung Fu. You know, Kung Fu fighting, even that song went through my mind. Because they were trained, prepared for this. And yet they got him working with Matthew. Paul, as I said, educated, comfortable in three worlds, the Jewish world, the Roman world, the Greek world. The last of the apostles. In summary, remember this, that the Lord looks beyond appearance. It's a reminder to us to look beyond status, beauty, success, to what's on the inside. Remember that God chose the humble, those who are basically doing their job. Our Lord delights in using the overlooked and underestimated, and trust his calling even when others dismiss you. And God forms leaders by the heart. David's qualification, first and foremost, was heart obedience, not age or strength or connections. Not the title, not the image, but heart obedience. God is not impressed with appearances. Our Lord looks to the heart. And David points to Jesus Christ, Jesus who perfectly obeyed the Father's will, doing his job. It's not so much a case for us to polish the image, but it's to act with our open hearts to the Lord. This week, our prayer can be, Lord, make my heart more like yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I invite you to stand and let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.